This week on the Kickstarter podcast, retro game designers Pixel Jam team up with comic book artist and musician James Kochalka to make his first video game, Glorkian Warrior. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Rich Corlatti. I work with Pixel Jam, and I do the artwork for the most part, the pixel art, and for this game I'll be doing some of that and helping animate some of what James is drawing.
I'm Miles. I also work for Pixel Jam. I'm doing all of the coding and a bit of the design and production.
I'm James Kochalka. I created the character Glorkian Warrior and came up with the basic game design. And I'm going to be hand-drawing a lot of the character animations in the game and hand-drawing a lot of elements used in the game.
I wanted to start with James. You've been talking about making this game for a long time. I found a discussion about Glorkian Warrior back in 2006. And you already had design concepts. You were planning on releasing it for the Game Boy Advance.
You know, somebody approached me and said, would you want to make a homebrew game for the Game Boy Advance? And I said, sure. And I went right to work. And they pretty much disappeared. I maybe got one more email out of them, but never really heard from them again. You know, they were just too busy to make a game just for fun.
Games are hard.
Yeah. I think more than hard, they're just time-consuming. Unbelievably time-consuming.
Yes, I've already discovered that.
How did the idea first start? And was this your first game idea?
Well, you know, ever since I was a little kid, I was thinking up video game ideas. I mean, this was my fantasy, was that there would be like a machine at the arcade, and you could write down on a piece of paper what you wanted the game to be, and you'd feed that into the machine, and then a cartridge would pop out a few minutes later that you could bring home and play on your Atari. And I was like, wouldn't that be like the perfect world?
And yeah.
No, it's not like that.
And it would be exactly how you imagined.
So, and then I got the Commodore VIC-20 and I programmed games for that. And then I got really good at programming the Commodore VIC-20. And then my friends all had this Atari computer instead. And so I sold my VIC-20 and I got this Atari computer and I couldn't figure out how to program it. Oh. I had no idea what to do. And that was the last so that was like 1983 or something like that. And that was the last program I ever did. I couldn't figure out the new system and I had to give up.
Well, I'm glad you moved on to comics.
Well, I was doing comics the whole time too.
Oh, right. Of course.
So the video games I started as a kid, the comics I started drawing as a kid, and I started writing songs when I was a kid too. And so I'm really using all those skills now in this Glorkian Warrior thing, because I'm going to, Mark DiNardo is making music for the levels, but I'm making some music for the game too. You know, and I'm hand drawing the character in the game and the enemies in the game, and I'm probably hand drawing the scenery too, right?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a mix of both 8-bit pixel art and hand drawn art.
Yes.
Yeah.
If I explain this part, I'm starting in the middle of the explanation of what the game's all about. Should I start at the beginning of what the game's all about?
Please.
Okay. The Glorkian Warrior is this goofy, three-eyed alien, and he has a super backpack, and like an intelligent backpack that can talk. It can also fire a laser straight up. And so his job is to patrol the asteroid field where his base is. And so the game is going to start with Glorkian Warrior is ready to go on patrol, and he's going out there to get in his Glorkian supercar, but he doesn't have his keys to the supercar. So he's like fishing in his pockets for his keys. He doesn't have the keys. So he has to follow on foot his last patrol and try and find the keys.
So it's like Moon Patrol if the guy couldn't get his car started.
Yeah, it's like Moon Patrol if the guy couldn't get his car started. But what he does have in his pocket, he doesn't have his keys, but he has a little robot version of himself, which is going to be a little pixel graphic version of Glorkian Warrior. And so if you find like a little door in the game, you can take the little pixel graphic version of yourself out of your pocket, set him down, he'll run over into the door, and then it will go to an old school pixel graphic video game screen where you act out like kind of like a miniature version of the real game in this little single screen room.
Right, and possibly more than single screen once he
gets
a jetpack or something.
And then the other gameplay mechanic that's really interesting is the first part is Glorkian Warrior walking, right? He's on patrol, running along. Galaga-type aliens are attacking him from above. But at the same time, he has to, like, jump over bad guys and bounce on their heads and stuff like you would in Super Mario Brothers. Then you reach this part where you're in an asteroid field, right? So there's other asteroids above you. And you can climb from platform to platform. And as you climb higher and higher, the gravity from your asteroid is getting weaker and weaker. And then you reach a point where it's really floaty in the middle, right? And then if you get close enough to another asteroid, the gravity flips the other way. So then you play the next level upside down.
So like in the gravity reversing scenes of Super Mario Galaxy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Oh man, I thought we made that up.
Basically, I've taken all the ideas from my favorite games and combined them into one game. It's like it's sort of stupid in a way.
Like, I think it's awesome.
The cat's out of the bag. It's really stupid.
But it's awesome. It's going to be great. I'm really interested in the art side of indie video games, where people are kind of are trying to express themselves artistically through the video game medium. But for me, I think the meaning, the real content and meaning of games is in the form itself. We don't necessarily have to superimpose some kind of meaning from our lives into the game, because the game already expresses the meaning of our lives. The moving through space, exploring, overcoming obstacles is really the perfect metaphor for what our lives are like every day. Like Super Mario Brothers, that is life. It's already as deep as it needs to be to capture everything about the human condition.
Wow.
You just have to look for it.
Well, you don't have to look for it. When you play it, you feel it. You know
it. Right.
You know, it's there. It's real.
Well, if your eyes are closed, you should open them and look for it.
All right, so this is a question for Miles and Rich.
Mm-hmm.
How are you dealing with working with an artist who hasn't designed a game before? And because, you know, James, you have like, seems like you have limitless imagination, you know, like when you're working in comics, you can do anything. But working within a game design, you have to be able to scope it to something you can actually make. Have you had to keep James's imagination in check and tell him this can be done or this can't be done? Or how is it evolving?
Well, as far as actual artwork goes, we don't really have to keep anybody's imagination in check. I'd probably say that usually comes from actual gameplay mechanics that we have to keep in check, because from a coding standpoint, that would be my responsibility for the game. It's easy to ask James, like, make this character go crazy and make, you know, give us all these animation frames for him doing all these amazing things, and that's really no extra work on my end besides just, you know, putting it in the game.
They get so excited about the game that it tends to be me saying, I think we're putting too many things in. Yeah. Maybe we should pare it back to our original idea.
Yeah, that has happened a few times. So actually it's James keeping us in check.
Right.
So how did this even happen? How did you guys meet?
I have this new album called Digital Elf, which is, you know, all songs that I composed and performed on the Game Boy Advance using Nanoloop. And I was invited by True Chip Till Death, which is a blog about the chiptunes music scene, to perform at their award ceremony in New York. And I said, yes, I'd love to do that, mainly because I just wanted to get introduced to all the awesome chiptunes artists in the New York scene, like BitShifter and other guys, and Glomag. But I didn't realize that it was my wife's 40th birthday. So I brought her with me. And we had a fantastic time. But at the show, I met Mark DiNardo, who is also playing at the event. And Mark DiNardo mentioned that he was friends with Pixel Jam and made music with them. And that one of you two guys, Richard Miles, was a big fan of my comics. And I knew who Pixel Jam was right away. I remember the games that I loved. And so he hooked us up together. And they wanted to do it. They wanted to make the game with me. They were already, you guys were already aware of my game design before we talked, right?
Yeah, I was. I did a little research right when Mark sent me the message that said he had contacted you.
Yeah, actually, so I came to them with two different ideas, and then we combined it into one.
Right, right.
Glurking Warrior on Patrol and Glurking Warrior going from planet to planet were originally two different video game design ideas, but they seemed to think it would be easy enough to combine it into one. And it actually makes better gameplay sense this way.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
What about NodePath? You didn't want to do NodePath?
Oh! this is kind of an amazing story. I had a dream. I had a fever. And in my fever, I dreamt for two full nights, at like hundreds of these little dreams every night of playing this game, where my little elf character from my American Elf Diary comic strip was dressed like Link from Legend of Zelda. He would go into these nodes, and the nodes would tell him what direction to go to next, and then he would walk to the next node, and it would tell him what direction to go on next, and he'd walk to the next node. And meanwhile, there were snakes trying to get him. So I drew a comic strip in an American Elf about having this dream, and then a few days later, this guy from the UK contacted me. He was like, "Hey, I made your game," and that's called Insomniac Elf. If you do a search for it online for Insomniac Elf, you can find that game and play it.
So this is technically your second game, then.
I guess so. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
That experience was so amazing. It made me feel like I had some kind of ungodly power. Like, I just dream things, and they actually happen.
Uh-oh.
This is the first time Pixel Jam has ever attempted to sell a game directly to fans, right?
It's true.
Yeah, that's true.
What do you guys think about that?
It's exciting. Finally.
It'd be good to not have to eat Cheerios for dinner anymore.
Dino Run had some kind of microtransactions.
Oh, yeah.
But...
Yeah, yeah, it's like kind of like a pay what you want or don't pay at all, and I'd probably say 99.99% of people decide to not pay. But we expected that.
I'd love to hear about how you guys found Kickstarter, how you came up with rewards.
I found Kickstarter through, somebody sent an email, I don't even remember who sent it, but it was for the Kill Screen project that was on your site. It was a video game magazine, and the magazine looked really cool, and I read the incentives and stuff, and I was like, oh look, credits on the inside of the front cover, and you know, I get to support a really cool looking video game magazine. I'll just sign up and do that. So I discussed it with Miles for a minute, and he agreed, so we donated like $50, I think, to that. And then I was aware of Kickstarter, and I kept looking at it and being amazed that so many of these projects kept going above 100% success, like to 200% or more. And it kind of blew my mind, so it's been in my mind ever since that I wanted to use it.
And I found out about it, well, I think I read about it somewhere, but then also one of my friends, Box Brown, one of my cartoonist friends, he funded his next book through Kickstarter. When I first started talking with Pixel Jam, I was like, let's make this game as the absolute simplest we can, because I know you guys are really busy and I just want to get something made, and let's just, you know, let's try it and see how we get along before we make anything bigger. But we got along really, really well, and they got really excited about the game, and I got really excited about the game, and they were like, well, we don't want it to be so teeny tiny necessarily. Maybe if we do this Kickstarter thing, we'll have the funds to make it as nice as we actually want it to be.
The rewards you guys came up with were great. They're very fun.
Oh, thanks. We really wanted everybody to get good stuff at any level. You know, the rewards just get crazy good, you know, as you go up. I think even at the $50 level, the rewards are stunningly good. You get a lot of stuff at that $50 level.
The mini comic that you're going to be making to go with the game, is that going to have tie-ins to the game? Like, is it a different storyline, or is it?
I would like it to be kind of the storyline of the game. Well, I've got the mini comic kind of in my mind. I haven't drawn it yet, but I've kind of got at least parts of it in my mind. I'm also working on a Glurking Warrior graphic novel, which I've been working on for about a year, and I'm maybe two-thirds done inking it, and the whole thing's, you know, scripted in rough draft form. About 132-page graphic novel for kids.
I read an interview. The interviewer was asking you if you ever had a shortage of material, and you're like, I could write a book about every single day.
Oh yeah, it's true. You know, so much. It's unbelievable. So much happens in every single day of our lives. I could easily write, I could write volumes of graphic novels about a single day. I mean, there's no end of interesting things happening. You know, if you just stare at it, like, you know, if you just set up a camera like Andy Warhol of your day, I don't know. But
it sounds like you need to do like Jeff Koons and train an army of artists to execute your ideas all day, every day.
I would love that. If I could I would really love that. If I could have a big studio like the guy that drew Astro Boy, who like in his career, I don't know, drew like 10,000 pages of comics or something ridiculous like that, or maybe even more. I don't know. But it was because he wasn't actually drawing all of it himself. He had, you know, a whole team of guys helping him draw stuff. That would be awesome.
For me, it's been really exciting seeing the indie comic and game communities latching onto Kickstarter for projects, because I love that. What sort of role do you think it's going to play for those respective communities and, compared to existing processes, existing publishing industries?
Well, a Kickstarter seems amazing to me because there's so many people with great creative ideas, you know, projects they want to make, and they don't have the cash to do it. And this allows them to do it without being beholden to, you know, any investors or company that's going to tell them to make changes to it. Or it's really amazing. And I've noticed there's so many people on Kickstarter, like there are people backing our game that they don't know who I am and they don't know who Pixel Jam is, but they just go on Kickstarter and they look around and say, oh, this looks cool. You know, I'd like to support that. And look, they've got some cool, you know, prizes that you get if you support it. It's just really an amazing thing. It makes you feel good about making art and doing creative stuff that people really care about it. It's different than, I mean, you're kind of selling them something, but it's different than selling them something. You know, it's like, people think that what you're doing is cool and they want to help you make it. It's just an amazing feeling.
Special thanks to Pixel Jam's Rich and Miles and James Kachalka for taking the time. Their project ends tonight, Monday, March 22nd. You still have time to back. Get there at kck.st/Glorkian. I'm Andy Bayo, and this was the Kickstarter Podcast. See you next time.